Tengo aquí a mi lado a una compañera del servicio EURES de Noruega. Ella es una consejera, conselleira EURES del Servicio de Empleo de Noruega. Su nombre, ya sabe ella que para mí es impronunciable, Ragnhild Thistan, pero seguro que no. Ella os lo dirá después. Bueno, nuestra compañera, para que la situéis, ella es la Emilia Seoane de Noruega, ¿vale? Ella es la persona que ha venido, pertenece a la red EURES en su país, en Noruega. Nosotros os explicábamos en el día de ayer que la red EURES, o que forman parte de la red EURES, todos los servicios públicos de empleo de todos los países del espacio económico europeo, y Noruega es uno de los ejemplos. Tiene sus consejeros EURES, sus EURES Advisor, que en algunas ocasiones salen de su país para hacer ese contacto con posibles trabajadores, con personas que puedan estar interesadas en ir a trabajar a Noruega. Porque los empleadores que están allí han manifestado su deseo, su necesidad de contactar con esas personas que probablemente no encuentren en Noruega por diversas circunstancias, o que si las encuentran, pues prefieren hacer una búsqueda más ampliada para, como os decía, en cualquier momento encontrar al mejor profesional que puedan encontrar, y no se limitan a su país, sino que deciden ampliar la búsqueda al espacio económico europeo. En eso va a consistir su presentación de hoy. Ella va a estar aquí con nosotros. Va a hacer su presentación en inglés. Lo va a hacer despacio para que lo podáis entender. Trae su PowerPoint que está muy clarito. Os va a hablar, os doy algunas indicaciones para que no os pongáis, aquellos que no habléis muy bien inglés, y no os pongáis demasiado nerviosos y no os obcequéis en quedaros con algunos mensajes y perdáis los demás. Ella va a hacer una primera exposición de cuáles son lo que en EURES se llaman living and working conditions, o sea, las condiciones de vida y de trabajo que existen en Noruega. Os va a hablar de cómo es el país, qué tipo de país es, qué condiciones tienen, cómo viven un poco, qué es, cuáles son los salarios, cuáles son las formas de protección social, cuáles son los principales sectores de actividad que existen en ese país. Me comentaba ella hace unos momentos, o hablaba con las personas del DUBI, que decían, y les decía que las condiciones de vida también, nosotros en EURES hablamos de condiciones de trabajo, pero también de condiciones de vida, que como podéis imaginar, las condiciones de vida de España a las condiciones de vida de Noruega, pues aunque solo sea por el clima, pues que un poquito, pues cambian. Y a continuación, después de explicaros un poco pues lo que os decía, condiciones de vida, condiciones de trabajo, principales sectores de actividad, se va a concentrar específicamente en una de las necesidades de ocupación que ellos tienen en este momento, que es los ingenieros. Cuando Ragnhild quiera, puede empezar.
Buenos días. Can you hear me?
¿Podéis oírla?
No.
Okay.
Buenos días. O buenas tardes.
Ya está.
Okay. ¿Vale? Yo soy de EURES Noruega y mi nombre es Ragnhild Sinstad. Ragnhild es un nombre vikingo que significa la mujer que lucha por los dioses. Pero yo no soy aquí para luchar o pero para darles un poco de información sobre el tema vivir y trabajar en Noruega. Y mi discurso es en inglés, porque mi español es muy, muy mal, lo siento, y también porque es necesario saber y hablar inglés o noruego cuando si quieran trabajar en Noruega. Okay? I really hope that you can understand me. Can you hear me? Good. Now, my great challenge is that I only have half an hour, and I have so much that I would like to say and so much that I would like to tell you, and I also would like you to ask questions. But I don't know if we have time for that. So if you have any questions, you are very welcome to come and ask me afterwards. Okay? Yes. Now, Norway, as you know, is far up in Europe. It's a very long country where the climate is very different from the east to the west, north to south. Can you see it? Yes. Our currency is kroner, and there you see 1 euro is about 8.2 Norwegian kroner. We have a constitutional monarchy. You see our very handsome Prime Minister, Jens Stoltenberg, and the royal couple, the King Harald and the Queen Sonja. Just a little bit of statistics about Norway. I think the most interesting, maybe, thing for you is to notice the great differences in the climates. The climate in Norway can differ from 30 degrees below Celsius. That's not normal, and it's not in all places in Norway, but actually it can go below Celsius, 30 degrees. That's quite cold, but also up to 30 degrees plus. So we have very nice, warm summers where we can go sea bathing, at least in the southern coast of Norway, but also have cold winters. The exception of that is on the western coast of Norway. The winter is seldom colder than 0 degrees, actually. It seldom freezes on the western coast of Norway. So, we don't have cities in Norway, only towns, because we are not very many people, just 4.6 million. So our biggest town, which is almost a city, would be Oslo, which is the capital. 500,000 people lives there. And it's located right, I think you can see it, on the eastern, southeastern coast, no, part of Norway. Just a few pictures. Have to give up. I was asked by the journalist of your local university newspaper, what is the biggest challenge for a Spanish to come to Norway to work? And the other way around, of course, as well. And the answer to that is language. So what about language? First of all, I have to tell you that Norwegian is very closely related to Swedish and...
I'm sorry, but...
Okay. Most Norwegians speak English quite well, but that does not mean that you don't have to learn Norwegian if you want to go to Norway to work. Actually, you do. The exception would be if you go through our recruitment project, the engineering recruitment project. Then the working language would be English. Yes, it's the other way around. I think it would be impossible for me to come to Spain and start working here without speaking Spanish. Do you agree? Yes. So it's the same way. Our big challenge in Norway is that we have a very low unemployment rate. Right now it's 1.8 in the average, which is very, very low. That means that a total of 44,000 people are unemployed in Norway. And of course, that is not good. Of course, we want it to go down to zero. The challenge is, though, that in some sectors in Norway, the employers cannot get people to work for them. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what those sectors are in a moment. And just in a couple of years, in 2010, it's estimated that Norway will need to recruit 220,000 people in order to meet the growing demand of the workforce. And it's very important to do that, to keep the wheels running, and also to keep the inflation low, because the inflation in Norway is very low. And if we wanted to keep it low, we have to have people to work for us. So how are we going to get that? Well, one of the things that we do is that we try to look at the other European countries and try to cooperate with our colleagues in Eurus there to try to see if we can, you know, exchange labor force to see if somebody is interested in coming to Norway to work, especially in the fields where you have a surplus in the workforce here in Spain. Do you understand me? Okay, good. Now, the sectors I was talking about, because I've understood that you represent a lot of different sectors. You are biologists and engineers and economists and, you know, language experts and different things sitting here. So you might feel that when I just talk about a few sectors, because I've chosen to just talk about the sectors where we most need people, you might feel left out. But if you have any particular questions about your own field, please come and ask me afterwards. The mechanical industry is quite big. And these are some of the people we need: welders, plumbers, scaffolders, and mechanics in general. I believe that I don't find many of those among you, so let's just move on. Norway is a country which is very rich in oil. Of course you know that. The oil and the gas industry brings in a lot of money for Norway, so we are very lucky in that way. And turned us from being one of the poorest countries in Europe, actually, into one of the richest in the world. So we have had great luck. Anyway, the offshore industry is very important to us, of course. And there is a very strange thing, because there is a large competition for the jobs, as you see there, because of the attractiveness of this sector. But and only highly skilled personnel with long experience can really, you go out there and say, okay, here I am, what you have to offer me. And the oil companies, they just fight over this competence. And we have a very grave shortage of petroleum engineers. There are not many enough. So the strange thing is that even though you have a lot of people wanting to work in this industry, you have this large competition. So is that logical? Well, people that have a very high competence, they really have the means of, you know, selling themselves for a very high price. They can really choose the jobs because they're so attractive to the employers. And the second point there, that it's only highly skilled personnel with long experience only. That doesn't mean that you cannot get a job if you are a chemical engineer and just out of school, just a graduate. Of course you have a good chance. We are just talking about the ones that are really, really, really attractive to this business. But because they have such a great need, the employers cannot just pick and choose. They have to consider everything that is qualified and consider them a very interesting candidate. Construction and the property industry also recruit a lot of people right now. Of course, on a very high skilled level, like engineers, but also on a lower level, carpenters, joiners, bricklayers, and plumbers, and so on. And because we cannot meet that demand in our own country, we recruit a lot from Sweden, from Poland, and from Germany. So very many of the people working in this industry comes from those countries. On a higher level, it is, as I said, technicians and engineers, building engineers, construction engineers, things like that, that are needed. I'm going to say more about the engineering project afterwards. Are you still with me? Good. I'm not going to say so much about IT because it's the same thing in the whole of Europe. The whole of Europe needs very high qualified IT personnel. And I think as an IT person, you can more or less pick and choose in all over Europe where you would like to go and where you would like to work, at least if you have a very high level of competence. And in that sector, the good thing is that English is often the working language. And that is, of course, only good news if you are good in English. Yes. Okay. Health. I think that the whole of Europe is more or less looking for health personnel. I think the situation is the same in Portugal and Spain. And so the danger is to, you know, steal from each other. If Spain needs dentists, so do Norway. And, you know, is it right that we come here and try to get your dentists, or you go to Norway and try to get our dentist? No, but within Europe we have this agreement, the free movement of labor, which means that the individual person should him or herself choose where he would like to go and, you know, search for his luck, search for work, settle down. And we know that most people are very close to their homes. They would like to settle around where they were born, where their family lives, where their friends lives. And I think that's the same thing all over the world. But I think it's also a very, very good thing to try to work a little bit or study in another country, in another culture for maybe a couple of years. I think that could be a very good experience for a lot of people. So in that perspective, you know, please consider us a little bit at least. We need dentists and we need doctor specialists. We need also family doctors in rural areas and nurses that have special competence. Do we find doctors and or medical students or nurse students here? No, okay. So then I don't need to speak about that. No, okay. No nurses there. No, then we can move on. Right. Of course, there are a lot of formalities when it comes to the things that you need to think about when going to another country. And I don't think that I should bore you with a lot of details about that. My suggestion is that you, if you are really interested in coming to Norway, you will find my contact information at the end of this PowerPoint, and you can write it down and send me a mail, and I will send back to you a brochure or more detailed information. But as always, if you want to go and work in another country, formalities have to be met. And this is just a list of the things that you need to do once coming to Norway. But I think we will just skip that. Let me just say a little bit about working conditions, so that you can understand a bit about the main, you know, differences between Norway and other countries and what to be considered when thinking about Norway as a place to go to work. Working contract, of course, 6 months trial period, salary paid once a month. Working hours are 37.5 hours a week. Is that the same as here in Spain? No. 40 hours. 40 hours here. Okay. Holiday. It's said that Norway do not have a lot of holiday compared to other European countries. So I don't know if that's true or not. We have 25 paid holiday days a year for union members and 31 days for non-trade union members. You have holiday pay, 12% of gross pay. Yes, a little bit about holiday. I don't think I will say too much about that. Now, the tax system in every country is always very complex and very difficult and differs a lot from different countries. It's said that taxes in Norway are very high. We like to say that that is not quite true. There is a quite high income tax, but we tend to say that you get a lot for the tax that you pay. I will show you a little bit later in the presentation. And as an EU citizen, you have several deductions that you can get. If you have any detailed questions about this, please come and ask me afterwards and we'll look into it. Now, this is maybe a little bit more interesting. It's about national insurance. You have a very good national insurance system. And as in all European countries, it's very different from, you know, all European countries have their own systems. The main traits with our national insurance system is that you have sickness benefit. You will have, if you are sick for a year, you will have 100% of your pay the whole year, and 66% if you are sick another year. We also, I think that we have a quite good system when it comes to children's benefits. A woman that is going to have a baby will have the right to receive 12 months with 80% pay for staying home with the child, or 10 months with 100% pay. I think that's quite good. Compared to Spain? Okay, very different, she says, yes. But I'm sure you have things that are better than our system. But
in Spain, you only have 4 months.
Not 4 months in Spain.
4 months.
Okay, ooh, that's little. Yes, and the father, he gets 6 weeks. But if he wants, he can have more. The woman can give up some of her or half of her maternity leave to the father. So parents in Norway can share the staying home with the baby. And a lot of Norwegian fathers do that nowadays, actually. That's quite sweet, I think. Yes. And under the national insurance scheme, we also find unemployment benefit, which is about 63% of the pay that you've earned for a maximum of 2 years. Other things that is covered: old age pension, as everywhere in Europe, disablement benefits, free treatment in a hospital, and we have very good public hospitals. Very good public hospitals. Very few private hospitals, actually, because there is not a big need of that, because the public system is quite good. And free dental treatment for those under the age of 18, but quite expensive to go to the dentist if you are above 18, actually. So that is not very good. Our system is not very good that way. Anyway, a little bit more about the children's benefits, because I think one of the good things about Norway is that we have a great emphasis on family policies. It's a big issue in Norway that it should be possible to combine family life, or having children, having a family, with your working career, both for the man and for the woman. So measures have been taken for many years to try to make this better. Among other things, we have a very good kindergarten system. Do you know the word kindergarten?
Yes.
Where almost, you know, every child in Norway between 1 and 6 years old, he has a very easy access to a very high quality daycare facility. And there are rules and regulations that will always try to secure parents the right to put family life before working life, actually. And I think that's necessary in order to just keep on children being born, because we have a very low unemployment rate. We do not have enough workers. And how would that be if, you know, less and less children are being born? Then the whole entire Norway would be wiped out, because there would be no people left. So that's a great shame. So that's the reason why we have such good measures for parents, to try to make sure that it is possible to have a family life and a working life at the same time. Child benefits in Norway is about 1,000 kroner, which is around 118 euros a month. No tax on that. A month per child, which you get for having a child every month. And you have good benefits for single parents. And we have something called kontantstøtte. That is a kind of a cash payment. And it's given to a child between 1 and 3 years old if the child is not in public kindergarten. And that is to ensure that the parents have a choice. If some parents wants to stay home with his or her child, the state gives him some cash money in order to make it a little bit easier to be without payment. And this cash payment is about 444 euros a month, and no tax on that either. And as a EU citizen coming to Norway, settling there, working there, you have the same right to receive these benefits as Norwegians themselves, of course. I don't know what you know about Norway. There are a lot of myths out there. You know, Norway being far up in the north, ice cold climates, polar bears in the street, very expensive. Some of it is true, but others is grossly exaggerated. But some things are expensive in Norway. Well, food and clothes are not that expensive. But alcohol and cigarettes is very expensive. Also eating out and cars and petrol is quite expensive in Norway. But on the other hand, most Norwegians actually own their own house or apartment. And I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. A good thing if you can pay it.
Yeah, if you can pay it, of course. Yes, but yes, you can, actually. Of course, the bigger towns, and especially Oslo, is much more expensive to live in than the average Norwegian town. But if you live in an average town of average size someplace in Norway, and have one or two normal incomes, you can quite easily own your own house with a garden and everything. So, yes, and Oslo is voted the most expensive town in the world. Ooh, don't want to talk about that here. Not very good commercial for Norway. But of course, the cost of living reflects the salaries. And I'm going to say something more about that in a little while. Time flies. Some houses in Norway. Aha, salaries. The average wage in Norway is among the highest in Europe. And this is the average monthly salary, the average. And the number is in gross, before taxes, about 3,700 euros. How is that for you? Is it good or is it bad? Good. Okay. So of the 10 best paid... Okay, now they're talking. Money! Yes. So, and this is of course the average. So among the 10 best paid wage earners, they receive the average of the double, and the 10 lowest paid wage earners would be about 2,200 euros a month. So that gives you an idea about the salary, the average, and the top and the bottom, in a way. And this is if you are employed, not self-employed or owning a business, employed. Some more pictures. Now, what do you think? Is it nice? I hope you think it's nice. But now you might think, what is life like in Norway? Is it different from Spain? Yes, I think it's quite different. I think it's quite different. I think that you are much more sociable and outgoing and urban than we are. And it's probably a lot easier to find friends and to mingle and to be sociable here in Spain. Norwegians are a little bit reserved, you know. But once you get a good Norwegian friend, he will stay a friend forever. Typically Norwegian is that we love the outdoors. We love activity. We love sports, especially winter sports. And football, of course. So if you are looking for a life where you can have a lot of space, a lot of time, time with family, time with children, but also a very good career, if you want to spend a lot of time outdoors, Norwegian loves to go hiking and you know, go for trips and things like that. And Norwegians love their vacations in their summer cabin by the sea or their winter cabin up in the mountains. You can see a picture there. That's, you know, that's the ideal for a Norwegian. And now you might ask, now what about all the Scandinavians coming to Costa del Sol or Costa Brava or Costa Blanca and making a noise there? And yes, we love that too. We love that too. But this is the kind of life that we do love. And the snow there, it doesn't mean that Norway is like that everywhere, because not all of Norway has a lot of snow and has a lot of cold. It differs a lot throughout Norway what kind of job opportunities you can have and what kind of a climate we have. So I've talked a lot about some sectors. And you might say, what about economists, what about biologists, what about sociologists, what about other academic professions? I think I have the answer to most of those questions, but I think it would take a lot of time if we do this, here. So I would prefer that you come and ask me afterwards. The general thing I can say about that is that, yes, of course, it's quite easy for a young graduate to find work in Norway, also his first job. The challenge is, though, the language. And if you, as a young economist, is looking for work in Norway, it could be a bit difficult, because then you would have to compete with people knowing Norwegian with the same background. So that might not be the easiest case. So I just have to be very honest and say that for many occupational fields in Norway, it could be difficult to compete. But the sectors which I've already mentioned are the most in demand for labor, and that is especially true when it comes to engineers. And I'm going to say a few words about our engineering project, so hopefully you will have the patience to keep with me for a little bit longer. These are my contacts, and if you would like to mail me or call me or contact me in any way with any particular questions that you might have, I'd be very happy to oblige you. Thank you.